Okay, we're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the 27th chapter, the 12th Pasuk. The Navi had been describing a future redemption, and we discussed that the commentaries have different interpretations as to which generation he's talking about. We'll read the prophecy, and we'll go with some of the translations. You guys have the place? Last week, when we read verse Yud, Ki'il b'tzuha badad, the fortified city will ultimately be alone, I told you that I suspect that the censor changed Rashi, because Rashi suddenly started talking about Yishmael. So I looked up in the Bar Ilan version of the Rashi, the accurate university version, and in fact, Rashi is talking about the Christians. Rashi says, when they do that, the fortified cities of Edom will become desolate. And the censor switched it to Yishmael. When we read it, I said it doesn't fit. Meaning the way our Rashi reads, how did Yishmael get into this whole picture? So in fact, when I checked the more correct version, really, Rashi learns this is talking about the future of Edom. So now we're up to Pasuk Yud Beis. V'haya bayom ahu. It will be on that day. And here we run into that same question. Whenever we say bayom ahu, by the way, the Targum learns be'idanahahi, in that period. So that's interesting to note, that sometimes it says that day, and the Targum learns it's that period of time. Yachabot. We have to remember that in Tanakh, the term a day can sometimes mean a millennium, right? We say the 6 days of creation correspond to 6,000 years. The verse in Psalms say, Ki elef shanim beinecha ki yom etmol v'ashmura. 1,000 years by you are just like yesterday on a watch. V'aya bayom ahu, so on that day, yachbot Adonai mishibolet hanahar ad nachal Mitzrayim. On that day, Hashem will, what does it mean to be yachbot? So one interpretation is, when they knock down the olives from an olive tree, lachbot means to hit. But to hit in a way that the fruits separate from their growth, so that the fruits become accessible. It seems that there were types of wheat that they would beat the wheat out of the stalk, so that's also a type of chavita. Yes?
Isn't there something about it, whenever it says on that day, it's talking about Rosh Hashanah? Not necessarily here,
I think that's when it says Vayhi Hayom, not Bayom Hahu. Vayhi Hayom, so our sages say is Rosh Hashanah. So on that day, Yachbot Hashem, Hashem will knock out the fruits, Mishibolet Anahar Ad Nachal Mitzrayim. From the, what is Shibolet? So last night in Tehillim, we learned Psalm 69, and we learned that the word Shibolet can mean two things. Ordinarily, Shibolet means a stalk. So then it would mean the stalk that's in the river will be beaten, the fruit will be beaten out of that stalk. But an alternate interpretation that we saw there is that shibolet also means a current. A very strong current is also called shibolet. So it could also mean that Hashem will beat the strong current of the river all the way to the Egyptian river, Ad Nachal Mitzrayim. So it could mean the people who live by the Euphrates, the people who live in Ashur, what we might call Iraq, all the way to the people who live down in Egypt. So Hashem will, so to speak, knock the fruit out of the stalk, or knock his people out of the exile. Ve'atem teluketu la'achad echad b'nei Yisrael. And you will be gathered from around the world. You will be gathered one by one. And Rashi learns it means that the nations will bring us as an offering. Every nation will say, here are your Jews. They'll submit us to the land of Israel. The simple understanding is that you'll be gathered, maybe by your own people, but you'll be collected from around the world. We'd like to think that that's what we did when we brought the Jews back to Israel, right? That's what the Sukhnut did, right? We'd like to think that. But again, Rashi learns it means whoever finds you will bring you as a gift to the land of Israel, as their offering, so to speak. The Targum seems to learn that the idea here is the return of unity to the people of Israel. You will be gathered one by one is a reference to the idea that you'll be able to unite one with one another, the people of Israel. And again, we'd like to think that maybe that's the Sfardim, Ashkenazim, Teimanim. Whenever I get to pray at the Kotel, I like to look around. Who am I davening with? Where are we all from? From all around the world. So that seems to be the Targum's interpretation. When it says you'll be gathered one by one, the Targum seems to say the stress is you'll be united one with another one with another one. And very often when I go around the classroom, I ask where everyone's from. So we see we have a class from all over the world. South America, Europe, Australia, Africa, all over the world. Everyone comes. So again, that's a possible interpretation, a possible fulfillment of this verse. V'haya b'yom ha'u. It will be on that day, or again, as the Targum learned, at that period, Yitaka b'shofar gadol. A great shofar will blow. What does that mean? A great shofar will blow. So the simple understanding is it's metaphoric, that ordinarily they would blow the shofar to gather everyone, and there's going to be a great calling to gather, to reunite the people of Israel in the land of Israel. Rav Kook Zatzal has a beautiful piece in his commentary on prayer. We say in prayer, Teka b'shofar gadol lechayuteinu. Hashem, give a blast in your big shofar for our redemption. And Rav Kook writes that there are two ways that the redemption can come. There's the redemption that comes with the small shofar, so to speak, where things happen in a way that's less than amazing as we reunite in the land of Israel. And we consistently pray, Tka b'shofar gadol, give a blast in your great shofar. May we merit that the return to Israel will be in a powerful, awesome, wonderful way. I'm not sure we didn't miss the boat on that one. I don't know. You know, maybe what he meant is it can happen through a Holocaust or it can happen through greatness of the people. And I'm not sure. We don't know. I'm not sure he knew. But the Navi describes that the redemption can come through the blowing of a great horn, a great shofar. Uva'u ha'ovedim be'eretz Ashur. And the people who were lost in the land of Ashur, v'anidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim, and the people who were scattered in the land of Egypt. Rashi learns that ha'ovedim be'eretz Ashur doesn't mean literally those that were lost in the Assyrian land, in Iraq, but rather it means those who were lost through the Assyrian land, Be'eretz Ashur, through the Assyrian exile. And that's, Rashi learns, a reference to the 10 tribes, which Rashi learns is assuming that the 10 tribes are on the other side of this great river, Sambatyon. We discussed earlier this week that there's Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer in our parsha, when it says Hashem will be angry and punish us and banish us like the day. Rabbi Akiva says it means just like the day passes and doesn't return, so too the 10 tribes are lost and they ain't coming back. And Rabbi Eliezer learns, no, they're coming back. Just like the day we set, sun set and sunrise, so too the ten lost tribes have been lost, but they will return. So Rashi learns, he interprets this pasuk against Rabbi Akiva. On that day, those that were lost by the Assyrian Empire, and those that were lost through the Egyptian Empire, they will all return, v'ishtachavu l'Adonai, and they will all bow, all these Jews will bow before Hashem, behar hakodesh b'Yerushalayim, on the holy mountain, the place of the temple in Jerusalem. So,
does it mean that the Gerim may come back because they're lost? I mean, they have no idea.
All right, that's a good question. Tradition has it that the Jews on the other side of Sambatyon have a kingdom that's super observant of Torah and mitzvot.
Very hidden,
right. There are fantastic stories of people who came from that kingdom, Eldad Hadani. One of the things they claim, like the Ethiopians claim, that they got the first letters from Esther, that there's a terrible decree on the Jewish people, and they never got the second letters, that the Jews were saved, and that by them Purim is a day of mourning, because they always mourn the loss of all those Jews under Haman. We have Midrashim of Eldad Adani, and there's a discussion among the commentaries, are they for real, or are they all a forgery? That someone just write them up. They're ancient Midrashim. But we're not sure. Rav Sadia Gaon discussed it. Can it be legitimate that people came from the 10 tribes?
At least the revealed world is so visible. You know, even the tribe that doesn't know we exist, we can see living in the Amazon, you know, based on the way they live. God just goes, to think that there's in our tangible, real, plain world, that there's a society that we can't see, you know, living is a bit of a leap.
So, two things. Number one, once I asked a scientist years ago, and he told me that there are tremendous parts of Africa that we don't see. That we have no idea what's going on there.
The plane, right? The Philippines and the ocean, with all of the equipment they have today, that plane went down. I don't think they ever saw it possible. But.
Right. So that's number one, right? Remember it's a machlokas. But others,
people who decide, since their roots would be getting more so.
Others want to suggest it's somewhere by the Bermuda Triangle, that we really haven't succeeded in exploring that area.
They don't allow as a possibility that they would reclaim their roots and come back as Gary, because that seems very much less miraculous and much more,
One opinion, not quoted in that midrash, but in other midrashim, says that they were lost because they intermarried. They really were lost. And then whether they'll return and convert or how they'll come back, that's a good question. You see, Rabbi Akiva holds they're never coming back. Rabbi Akiva isn't bothered. Yeah. Rashi over here is interpreting against Rabbi Akiva, right? And we mentioned a few weeks ago that the Rebbe of Chabad said that Ha'ovdim Be'eretz Ashur, those that are lost in the land of, he said, Ashur comes from the word Me'ushar, where people are so happy, the land flowing with filth and money, that's the United States. And Hanidachim Be'eretz Mitzrayim, those that were lost in the land of oppression, that he said was the USSR. That was his interpretation. Again, I heard it quoted by Hasidim. I never heard it from him. But that was his application of this pasuk. How this is supposed to come true.